All right, so tonight we're going to get started on the laws of Tevilas Kelim. This is something that's not so popular, but very common. It comes up all the time. So perhaps we'll start, before we get into the Shulchan Aruch side, let's just give some background in terms of what this is all about. The funny thing is that for all the prevalence of Tevilas Kelim, it only gets one amud in Shas. That's it. I'll show you.
Really? It's such an important thing.
It's unbelievable. And it barely gets a passing reference in a Mishnah. It appears, the sugya appears in Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis. And this is the whole sugya.
Yeah, yeah.
This is one Amud in my collection here. That's it. The Mishnah tells us, if you buy Halokeach Klei Tashmish Shmina Ovi Kochavim, Es Shedarko Lahatvil Yatvil, Lahagil Yagil. That's the whole line. That's it. The whole sugya. And where does this come from? The Rambam tells us that it's somewhat of a troubling line. It's midivrei sofrim mipi hashmua lamdu. Where do they get it from? From the rabbis learned this from the story of the Klei Midyan. What's the story of Klei Midyan? When the Jews fought the Midianites in the desert, so they encountered...
Oh, like with...
Parshas Matos.
Yeah, right around there.
So they
yeah.
encountered... all the spoils of war.
Right.
So the figure is, what are they going to do with this? So what does the pasuk say?
Right, Moshe said you can't do something. You got to make it tahor.
Exactly. How do you do it? So the pasuk says, "Aches hazahav ves hakesef, es hanechoshes ves habarzel, bedil en hoforis, kol davar ashiyavu ba'esh taviru ba'esh v'taher." If it's a grill, so you have to kasher it with fire, which we'll get to. V'ach b'mei nida yischata, but it has to be purified in mei nida. So then it adds.
So that means a mikvah.
V'chol asher lo yavayesh tavir b'moyim.
Right.
So the Gemara understands that you have to dunk your brand new kelim.
Yeah. What's up, Ari?
Starting a new simon today.
Yeah,
just getting started.
Did you walk down the block? Or?
Yeah. Right. I'm not from Chicago.
I would have walked to your house.
So the Gemara learns from this story of Geulei Klei Midyan that just like in the times of Midyan, when they acquired these spoils from the non-Jewish neighbors that they battled, so they had to throw it, according to the story of the Toher, they threw it into a mikvah for Tara, so you have to tovel your kelim.
That's not divrei sofrim. Why can't that's midiraisa.
Oh, so that's the question. What did the Rambam mean when the Rambam said that it's midivrei sofrim mipi hashmua lamdu?
It's in a mefurish pasuk.
Exactly. Yeah. So the problem is, though, the pasuk itself does not actually say in a mikvah. It just says, so that could mean if it's, maybe if it's used for glasses, you only wash it. So this is a machlokas rishonim. The Ran says that according to the Rambam meant it's midirabanan. But most of the rishonim, the Rashba and others, they say no. Mipiash mu'alamdu just means that the rabbis learned it through one of their derivations, but it's actually a din d'oraisa. And there are some nafkaminas from this machlokas.
Wait, what does the Rambam do with the pasuk? So what does he say the pasuk means?
The Rambam says that is what the pasuk means. I'll read you the Rambam.
Yeah.
I Xeroxed it. The Rambam says, he says the pasuk, Tvilosu shemat bilan kalei asuna hanilkachim and ovikochavim va'achakach yutul achila v'shtia einu le'inyan tumba v'tara ella midivrei sofrim. That's phrase one. Now the thing is, midivrei sofrim,
that makes it sound like it's a good thing to do.
Right, but the Rambam does not always use midivrei sofrim to mean midrabanan. For example, the Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, kiddushe kesef is midivrei sofrim. All of our marriages are midivrei sofrim.
Right.
So what does the Rambam mean by that? So the Rambam means that it's not explicit in the text. How do we learn that? Kicha, kicha,
we
stay epshom.
Right.
So that Gzeira Shava is the Rambam's way of calling it midivrei sofrim. It doesn't mean it's rabbinic. We're not married on a rabbinic level. We're married midaraisa.
Right.
For remez, kol dovra sheyavo ba'esh tavir ba'esh vitoher, mipia shmua lamdu she'enu medaber ela b'taros midei ge'ulei goyim lo midei tumah.
Right.
The nafkamina of whether you say it's daraisa derabanan is multiple. One of them, in specific, would be a katan. A katan can do tevilas kelim. The question is a katan neman about tefilas kelim? Let's say if I go to the kelim mikvah and I bring my child, so it's a separate question whether I should give the child to do the tefilas kelim. If I watch my child do tefilas kelim, it's totally fine.
Right.
Let's say I send my kid to the kelim mikvah and
right.
I say, go tovel the kelim.
Right.
And the kid comes back and he says,
can
I tovel the kelim. Can you
believe
it?
Did it right.
If you hold this a din d'oraisa,
right.
So a katan,
right.
Hey, good evening, is not neman. To say that he did the tevilas kelim, because
right, right.
The cotton isn't neman on a din d'oraisa, he's only neman on a din d'rabbanan. So that's an important nafkamina. Another one might be the sugya of mashkon, which hopefully we'll get to at some point. But the plurality opinion is the simple pshat of the Gemara, the simple pshat of the Rambam. We're just doing the background now for tevilas kelim. The simple pshat of the Rambam is that tevilas kelim is a mitzvah d'oraisa, that it's learned from ke'ulei klei akum. So the question is, why is this din? What's the nature of the din? So Tosa says here on daf lamed heya in Avodah Zarah, says it's a chiddush. It's a gzeres hakasov that you have to dunk your pots and pans into the mikvah. But there's an interesting Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that you have to inaugurate your kelim into Kedushas Yisrael. And the Ritva takes that Yerushalmi quite literally, and he says that it's like the equivalent of Tvilas Ger.
Really?
So much so that some Rishonim say, therefore, if it's modeled after Gerim, first, if you have a, let's say you buy a used kli, let's say when we lived in Washington Heights, there were these stores on St. Nick. So Rabbi Sobolovsky once, when he gave a shiur once about Tfilas Kelim, he said he went to Tovel something and it was a suffix, so he figured, let's be Tovel Bavadai. So I'll buy a spoon on St. Nick and I'll be able to make his bracha Bavadai. So it turns out, he says, you could tell that the spoon that he bought was a used spoon. You see, it's still Chiv Daraisa to Tovel it, but you have to do Hagolah if you buy a used spoon on St. Nick.
And then throw it away.
So some say, well, just like a ger, you should first do the mila and then do the tefila. So first you should do your hagala, kashering, and then, if it's a used kli, and then do the toivling. So what's the pshat in this? What does it mean that you're toivel, you're megayer, you're kalim? So I think what it means is the following. The Rambam is very interesting. The Rambam has three sections in Hilchos Kedusha.
But is this only kalim that you bought from a goy?
Only kalim you bought from a goy.
Right.
Just like clay midyan, we're going to keep going back to clay midyan as the model.
The kelim that you bought are, even if they're new, they're already inaugurated into the kedushas.
It depends where you bought them from.
Right.
If you bought them from a Jew, so it's fine.
If you just bought them new from the department store,
then you're going to chayv in tefilas kelim.
Okay.
You're going to toivel them. So perhaps
tea or coffee. Yeah, tea or coffee.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Are you in?
Okay.
The Rambam has this interesting line where the Rambam includes in his book of kedusha. What does he include? He includes three sections. If you would have asked me what to include in Kedusha, I would have probably said, you know, Tvilin, Sefer Torah. No. What the Rambam says are Hilchos Macholas Asuros, Shchita, and Isurei Bia. So what's the pshat? So I think the pshat, the Rambam thinks that, and this is maybe a philosophical underpinning of the Sefer, is that there are certain things that people and animals do equally. We both reproduce and we both eat. But the way that a human being does these activities is elevated from the way that just animals do so.
Right.
Memela, the Rambam is saying, what's Kedusha? Kedusha is what elevates us and what distinguishes us from just average creatures. That's why it's in Kedusha. And maybe that's why when it comes to kelim that are used for food preparation in the kitchen, we want them to have a certain spiritual quality. You know, Jews, we're into food, but we do it in a special way that we do it with certain forethought, certain hachana. So that's perhaps the idea. And this is Yerushalmi, but it's a very interesting Yerushalmi. It's quoted by the Ritva, that it's like being megayer your kelim. Okay? That's the background. So let's get straight to the Shulchan Aruch. One piece at a time. Hakone meha'ove kochavim klei su'uda shel matchos o shel zchuchis O kelim hametzupin be'ever mi b'fnim, af al pi shehem chadashim. If a person procures from a non-Jew clay su'uda, food for your vessels, utensils for food preparation, shel mateches, if they're made out of metal, o shel zchuchis, or they're made out of glass, o kelim hametzupin be'ever, or they're lined with lead. Mi b'fnim on the inside, af al pi shehem chadashim, even though they're brand new, there's no treif inside them at all. Tzorech lahatbilam b'mikvah, Omayan shel arboim sa'a. You have to dunk them in a mikvah or in a spring of arboim sa'a. There you go.
The clay midyan were not just clay sudo, though. That was everything.
Oh, so that's the question. Why does it say in Shulchan Aruch only clay midyan? So right. If you look here, the Bir HaGra quotes from a Rashba to answer that question. Says the Bir HaGra, if you look in... where is it? I thought it was in the Bir HaGra here. Maybe later. He quotes from a Rashba. Yeah, there it is. If you go on the next page, actually, your page, Leish, your packet is backwards. It's not some of these packets are not. If you look in the Bir HaGra in Yud, you see where it says tripods. We're going to get to this. The Bir HaGra is dealing with the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, let's say the grates on your stovetop. Do you have to tov those? That's what he calls tripods. That's the equivalent. Yeah. So you see where the Bir HaGra is in the Yud in the brackets there, toward the bottom. He says, Kamosha Kosav Sham Klei Suda Amurim Beparsha. In the section of Midyan, it says Klei Suda. Where does it say that? Upirish HaRashba, the Rashba explains, called Asher Yavo Ba'esh Ta'aviru Ba'esh Eze Dovar Sheba Ba'esh Tzarech Lahachshiro Ba'esh. What does it mean, referring to the pasuk, to things that you have to kasher in fire? We're on page Resh Pei Tes. Ari, I don't know if you're backwards there. Yeah. He says, Zeh Klei Suda Shebolea, because it imbued taste into the walls. But if you're talking about the oven grates or the oven racks, kamo shtei kederos. So we'll leave that for the lesson line for the later. But this Bir HaGra explains the issue. He says we're only talking about kiddush cups or your grinder in the kitchen. We're not talking about if you buy a set of drawers from someone who's not Jewish. Why? Because the Parsha, when it taught us, and again, we're always going to go back to the model of Klei Minyan, when the Parsha taught us the Chiyuv, it was only talking about Klei Suda. The Raya, the Rashba thinks, is from the fact that it has to teach you the laws of Kashering there. The fact that it teaches the laws of Kashering means it must have something that has a Bliya. Your chest of drawers doesn't have Bliyos. Only your Klei Suda. So that's the first thing that we learn from Klei Minyan. Let's go back. Hakone me'ovi kochavim. So we're going to see later on, it's specifically if you purchase it, not if you borrow it. So the let's say I work in a company and I go to the lunchroom and they serve on metal kalim. They have but they're brand new. Obviously, if they're used, they have to worry that maybe there's trace bleas in them. They're giving out brand new metal kalim for use in the cafeteria, and then you're going to give them back. So I don't have to run to the mikveh and tovel the kalim, because I didn't buy them. They're not mine. It has to be specifically hakone me'ovin kochavim. Klei suda, it has to be specifically...
So you just buy, if you're a shoel or a socher or something like that?
You're not.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to see later on. It says, Beferish Shulchan Aruch, if you're a shoel, you don't. You don't tovel your kalim. Klei suda, so this is where it gets a little bit interesting. How do you define exactly klei suda? What does that mean when we say klei suda?
What about like first class on an airplane? That's right. That's, you're not going to those then, right?
Right. Are those?
I don't even know if they're brand new.
That's the thing. Are they brand new?
Repackaged. Maybe
repackaged.
So
it'd be a problem to use them if it's hot food.
Because it's bleas.
Because there's bleas in there.
Right.
If it's, let's say, cereal for breakfast.
I don't order the bleas. Thing.
What's that?
I don't order the bleas.
Right.
I never said first class.
But you can't rely on cereal for breakfast. That may be just what you're getting, but that might have been.
No, so let's say if you're eating cereal for breakfast, so you're only using these, let's say the metal spoon.
Right.
They have, let's say you have a treif metal spoon that's totally clean.
Right.
So the metal spoon that's totally clean, if you're using it ba'akroi, again, I'm not passing halacha lemaisa, but in Shulchan Aruch it says later on that it's mutter to use it for tzonein ba'akroi. You happen to be on the plane. How often do you fly first class? Once in a yovel. Who knows?
Yeah, right.
Some people maybe around this table fly more often. Right. You have the business meetings or whatever. I fly coach. But if once in a yovel, or let's say you're staying over at a hotel, one of these, you know, continental breakfasts, and they give you, they have spoons there,
right,
dreifa spoons, but you're using it only for cold milk. So since it's bakroi, so then it's going to be permitted.
But even though there could have been blia on the spoon?
Even though it was blia on the spoon, but because you're using it now for cold,
yeah,
then blias aren't going to come out. Yeah. So you you would be permitted to use that, again, ask your local Orthodox rabbi before halacha lemaisa.
I've been sticking my face into the bowl.
God
sense. So here's my next question. How far back do you go to define what is clay suda? We're going to get to a little more later. So clearly, spoons, forks, those are clay suda. My KitchenAid, preparing the food, that's cutting up the spoons. What about
blender?
Blenders, yeah, also clay suda. What about
ladles? And
so ladles will be included
because
that goes directly in part of your food preparation, your serving.
Right.
What about the shaila comes up
what
here?
Take a look. The cutting board.
Okay, good. If it's a metal cutting board, it'll be included. But take a look here in the Pisrei Tshuva. You'll see why in a little bit. But I just want to get started. He says, Yoro shem hagedolo shem vashlem bo shechar, giant pots. On the left-hand column, Pisrei Tshuva and Aleph. First one, he says, Yoro hagedolo shem vashlem bo shechar, nearly the tzrichem tvila. Giant pots, even if they're large. Af al pi shekovim osam umachavim osam, mikol makom dino kekli ve'ein lahem takana ela sheyitbalem, you have to toivel them. Oh, here's a shtick. Yinkov behem nekev godol she is batal mitores kli. Put a giant hole in the bottom, and now it's not a kli anymore. It's useless. And then what do you do? Va'achatach yisakin uman Yisrael. Oh, you get a Jewish guy. So apparently in Israel they have people
again.
Who do this.
You want to use it again.
Because now, again, where does it kli of chal? Only when you bring a kli from a goy. But if the Jew makes it into a kli, so now it's a Yiddish kli. It doesn't require gerus. So this is...
There's a hole in the bucket, there lies it.
Exactly.
Get a Jew to fix it.
It is who makes it. It's who makes it. Right. Well, so, but again, let's go back to the mashal of the gerus. If the kli at any time belonged to a goy, you're sunk.
And is it, so was it, let's say a Jew owns a company that makes the silverware, whatever.
So as we will
right.
see...
But the people that are working on it and making on it are non-Jews.
Good. So we're going to talk about it later. We're going to get to it inside, but the short answer foreshadowing is that that's called a Jewish kli. Because those people are just an extension of the owner and the operator.
So you're not being called that from a goy then.
Right. But Larry's point is an important point. Let's say Hatzor Fim makes Kiddush cups, and then they sell the Kiddush cup to Bed Bath & Beyond. And I buy from Bed Bath & Beyond, so now I'm Chayv and Tvila. And the opposite is also true.
Warren Eisenberg's a good Jewish man.
So it's really both. It's who made it and who
maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. It's public company. So
Bath & Body Works is the limited. That's the Wexner.
It's also
public. Right.
Yeah. It's all public. Yeah.
But the opposite is also true. Let's say some Chinese company manufactured the silverware and they sold it to Rosenblum's.
Yeah, so that shouldn't be. But that you, so you're not being conned from a Jewish person.
It's really both. Oh, I'm saying it's both.
So theoretically,
right? The opposite should not be true. That should be a better case for you.
Oh, but the problem is that once they were fashioned in China,
right,
now the chiyuv is chal on them. So when the so now when the Jewish store owner buys them,
they have to tovel it.
So it's interesting. They don't tovel it.
Right.
Why not? Why
don't you?
What's that?
They don't want to be new.
No. Why don't they toivel it?
They don't have to. They're gonna sell. They're gonna sell it to goyim. I mean,
no. Let's say they're gonna sell it to me.
They never take ownership of it.
Well, they do own it.
Yeah, but they're not intending to use it.
Oh, that's what the poskim say. Exactly. They say not.
They're not using it for clay. Yeah,
bingo! It's not clay suda. It's
for
merchandise.
It's clay machira. Yeah, right.
It's clay machira.
Yeah.
That's why it's interesting. There are some places in boroughs. There's a borough in New York City that I won't mention the name, where they have such stores, where they have a kela mikvah there, which is very good. But
so they toil everything they buy from China.
So that's the thing.
They offer you
exactly.
Oh,
they
the
tell
you buy it.
Right, but you can't tell the people pre-toivel my kelim. Why not? Because it's not mechuyev. If it's not mechuyev,
like a bracha levatela for them.
Exactly, it would be a bracha. They can't tovel the kalim yet because it's not clay suda.
Right.
It's only clay suda when it gets into your property and you intend on using it.
There are definitely places that sell tovel kalim.
Well, that's
because of course the store at Borough Park is ripping off blind, right?
I'm not mentioning any particular place, and maybe they have some reason.
They're going to make a ton of profit off you.
I don't know what. I'm just saying that it's the poskim right, and maybe they have some way of getting around this. But most poskim right, this classical poskim that I saw, you should know there's an entire sefer. This by Rabbi Tzvi Kohn is an entire sefer. This is all about Tfilas Kalim. It's a beautiful sefer, and of course, like we've had in the past, the Chelkas Binyamin, he has on Tfilas Kalim also. But this is like very halacha lemaisa. So he points out that they can't toivel you beforehand. The same thing is going to be, and we'll see this in a little bit. Again, I'm just foreshadowing, jumping the gun. This has happened. This happened to me in my house. I went to, I don't know, Home Depot, and I bought a pair of garden shears. And I use them for cutting chicken. Because they're much better than the chicken scissors that you buy.
You're supposed to use outside the house.
I didn't know I was going to get a food preparation tip. So
it's very much.
You thought he had a free thumb, but then he decided to bring them inside.
You try cutting chicken bones. You try cutting chicken bones with one of those chicken scissors.
We have
scissors.
Chicken scissors.
So some of them have the chicken scissors are better than others. The chicken scissors that we have are terrible. So I got these garden scissors.
Right, those are good.
They cut right through the bone.
But
yours too, though, that's the problem.
Oh, sorry,
bought it, you bought them with the kavanah of using
Them for the chicken. The thing. So we're going to see that it depends. If I bought it for garden shears, so I'm not chayav in tefillah, but the minute that I decide that I'm going to use
then
it for my chicken, so first I should clean it.
Right.
I should wash it with soap. And then...
And not tell your wife that you're
using it. Don't eat chicken if
you're exactly. So then you tovel it. But it all comes back to this clay suda from the Rashba, basing it on the Vilna Gaon's Rashba. Oh, so we said it's clay matchos. Okay. How did we get clay matchos? How do we know that it's only clay matchos? Let's say I buy a wooden spoon.
What's matchos?
Metal.
Well, metal.
Let's say I buy a wooden spoon in Bed Bath & Beyond. So, according to the Shulchan Aruch, I'm not obligated to tovel it. Although I bought it from a non-Jew... And it's a spoon. I'm going to use it as a clay suda, but...
Can it not be mekabel tuma?
It's not matchas. So wood can be mekabel tuma if it has a scoop.
Okay.
So it's mekabel tuma,
but... Nechoshes and marzel.
Exactly. Yeah. The pasuk that we mentioned six types of metal. Zav, bedil, ofores, kesef, nechoshes, and zav.
Right.
Barzel. So you have six metals. So the Gemara says six metals means metal. And those are the only things. Those are the only things that require midrash.
Glass.
Well, I was going to say, how do we get the glass?
Oh, how do we get the glass? So the Gemara says, midrabanan, they added glass.
Could they probably do the same with the metal?
In what sense?
In the
following
it's
sense.
Permeable?
In the way, the Gemara says, interestingly, in the way that if glass breaks, you can melt it down and reconstitute it. Just like with metal, you can melt it down and reconstitute it. Oh.
Plastic. According to the Rambam, then how?
So some posts can say maybe plastic should be the same. That's an interesting shiloh.
According to the Rambam, then Nechoshes and Barzel would be Durabanan.
Why?
Right? I mean, that's what he meant by Divrei Sofrim.
So I think the Rambam just meant by Divrei Sofrim, just meant the derivation.
Okay.
The Rambam, we're assuming, like the Rashba, that the Rambam agrees that it's all Doraisa.
Okay.
It's all Doraisa.
And now you can recycle cardboard, you can recycle wood, you can all kinds of.
Interesting, right.
So it must be.
That's an interesting observation. Lechora, we're going to stay with whatever the Gemara said. We're not going to add anything, although there are some poskim who suggest maybe you can melt down the plastic and put it together back together, but that doesn't seem to be, that's not the
glass
commonly accepted opinion.
Sounds like a terrible idea.
Doesn't sound like...
Is glass makabel tuma?
Yes, glass is makabel tuma midrabanan. So now...
There's blia into glass?
Oh, so that's another controversy. That we'll deal with... we're going to have to make it a little shorter tonight, just because I have to run a little bit early. But we'll deal with glass separately in terms of the blios. But in terms of the chiyuv, we've got now metal. The post can discuss, what about aluminum?
That's metal.
Because it's a metal,
but it's not listed.
But it's not listed. So in the back here, he has an essay from Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zichrono Livracha, dealing with the issue of aluminum. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in the Igros Moshe where he says it's definitely at least... The
what
equivalent
about
of glass.
I mean, but isn't all that Calphalon? All that stuff, that wasn't Calphalon? That wasn't
invented by DuPont.
Exactly.
Calphalon's not listed.
So,
I mean,
so exactly. So we're going to have to figure out.
Those
so he points out in the Hakdama here on that issue, he says you have to look at the rove. What's the majority of the composition?
But is it the cooking surface or is it the
pan? Of the pan. of the metal, of the substance.
So not the non-stick top of it.
Why
just
is it not just the surface that's touching the food? It's just...
Because you want to define the kli. What is the kli? We're going to get to covering next, hopefully
Plus
next
the
time.
The non-stick eventually begins to...
We're going to talk about the covering, because that's, right. By the way, nafkamina for China. China is cheres. It's earthenware,
right.
And it's covered with glass, a glaze.
Right.
So there's a big machlokas about this. We'll
right.
talk
I thought
about next
China,
week.
If it hasn't been used in a certain amount of time, it doesn't have to be tovel or something like
well,
that.
That's the issue about koshering. We
yeah.
want to know about toveling.
Right.
Do you have to tovel your china? When you get married, do you dunk all your china in the mikvahs? It's a machlokas. We'll get to why it is. But the...
Don't answer.
Just... but the bottom line is, and with this, I apologize, we'll hold it here tonight, the clay suda of matchas of metal and aluminum, at least Rav Moshe says midrabanan, plus glass midrabanan, are all going to require tefilas kelim. So wooden spoons that you buy, those will not require tefilas kelim. Anything that is glass is going to require midrabanan, and we'll see. There's a big difference if it's midaraisa. So what do we say about daraisa? Savik daraisa lechumra. But if it's a glass kli, we're going to have a lot more leniencies when it comes to kashering the glass. Okay. Shkoyach. Shut this up. I get this to Yitzi.